Hello, good morning once again. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 131. We're going to be preaching from this portion in Scripture. And as I've been doing through this last Sundays, I just first want to present myself once again, introduce myself to you. My name is Alberto Paredes. I'm here with my wife, who I cannot see. I think she just went drop our little one to the nursery. Her name is Laura. She's also a student at RTS. And I was planning to tell you once a week a different fact about ourselves. And today, what I want to share with you is that I was trained as a physician back in Mexico. And my wife, there she is. She was trained as a lawyer, and we are really glad. We are really happy and blessed to be here with you today. So thank you. Thank you for having us, and let's turn now to the Word of God. And before reading our psalm, let us remember, last week we were able to take a look at the relationship between who God is as someone powerful who is able and willing to strengthen his people. And today, continuing the topic of becoming childlike, I would like to spend this time with you walking through this psalm and looking at the progression with which the psalmist is building his poetic argument. Now, because we are going to be dealing with the book of Psalms today and the book of Proverbs next week, I believe it is good to mention a couple of things about wisdom literature by way of introduction. A couple of things you need to know about wisdom literature are this. Number one, wisdom literature and its main purpose is to teach the people of God how to live the covenant life. So wisdom for us sometimes have a more of a metaphysical, philosophical sense. For the Jewish people, it was, and it is, very practical wisdom. So how do the Word of God shape our lives? The second thing you need to know is that most of wisdom literature is written in a genre called Hebrew poetry. And one of the most prominent features of Hebrew poetry is repetition and parallelism. So what the author would do often is repeat himself, repeat the same idea, to stress, to emphasize one very important issue. And we're going to look at that in this psalm. Now, our psalm, of course, is found in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is subdivided into five smaller books. And our specific psalm, 131, is found in the last book of the Psalms, book number 5. Book number 5 is broadly dealing with the celebration of God's salvation for his people. These are the themes that you are going to see throughout the last book of the Psalms. And within this book, so we're zooming in from brother to our specific psalm, within this fifth book, there are those songs known as the Songs of Ascent. You're going to see there in your title. It is called Song of Ascent of David. These songs were sung by those pilgrims walking toward Jerusalem for one of the big feasts of the Old Testament Jews. Here's what it's important. Going to Jerusalem was really significant for the Jewish people. And the reason was that the temple of the Lord was located there. And for them, that meant that that temple of the Lord, that was the presence of God among his people. So they would go singing these songs of ascent because Jerusalem is located in the highlands in Palestine. Sometimes singing about God's care and providence, other times about God's protection against the enemies, about the greatness of being among God's people, and other themes alike. Now, Psalm 131 is one of the shortest psalms in Scripture, but it is indeed full of wisdom for life. And just as the path towards Jerusalem was a dangerous journey, so also the Christian life is surely difficult and full of hardships. So the wisdom provided by David through this psalm is fitting for you today. Thus, continuing with our study of childlikeness, my purpose this morning is to show from this passage that to be childlike is to learn to humbly trust in the Lord. To be childlike is to humbly trust in the Lord. We're going to see this in three really short points. Number one is the identification of humility in the psalm. Then we're going to be presented with an image of humility. And finally, we're going to be invited to humility. So an identification, an image, and an invitation. Let us now go to Scripture and read Psalm 131. Psalm is titled, I Have Calmed and Quieted My Soul, and it reads like this, a song of ascent of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We ask you to bless us with your Spirit so that you would imprint your word into our hearts. Father, I ask for your church, that this word I'm going to preach, as long as it is faithful to Scripture, will work as medicine to the body of Christ, even if it is painful, even if it is bitter, even if it is hard to receive, that the result would be sweet enjoyment of Christ. Also, Father, I pray for me. Have mercy on me and empower me with your Spirit so that I may preach with authority and faithfully to the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so we turn to the first verse in our psalm today. And what the psalmist is going to do first is to identify the main theme in this psalm, which is, of course, humility. The author begins by using a triple synonymous parallelism. Now, what in the world is that? He repeats the same thing three times to emphasize, to say this is very, very, very important. This is the main theme of what I'm trying to communicate to you. And so he writes, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. And I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. And the purpose of this repetition is to call attention to the fact that David is saying, I am not being proud. We have three different expressions that are used to describe the proud man. The lofty heart, also used in Proverbs 12:8. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty. But humility comes before honor. High eyes, Psalm 18:27. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. So again, this contrast between the humble and the proud. And then the things that are to marvel, the Hebrew word used to reference these marvelous things is the word that is often used to describe God's wondrous deeds. Psalm 26 verse 7 says, and telling all your wondrous deeds is the same word in the Hebrew. And so each of these is an expression of pride. More so a denial of pride. David is saying, I am surely, definitely not engaged in these things, in these proud behaviors, which are a reflection of a lofty heart. I am not doing this. And with this, David is not only telling us what kind of activities he's not engaged in, but by the same token, he is describing how the proud man behaves. The proud man is concerned with much more than he can handle. Who among us is thinking about doing the works that only concern to the Lord? The wondrous deeds of the Lord? Only a very proud man would do so. Concerned with more than he can handle. The more you do, the more you are, thinks the proud man. The more you accomplish, the more you are worth. The more you have, the better you will feel. The proud man is concerned with things too marvelous, which are only rightly attributed to the Almighty God. And by doing this, his heart is trying to occupy a place that is only suitable for Yahweh, for the Lord of wonders. So in contrast with this man, David is able to identify himself with humility. And so let me ask you this question. When you look at your life, with you When you ponder your life, what kind of man do you see? Maybe you will object, "Preacher, I've never tried to identify myself as God. I'm surely not the proud man." Do you try to have control over every single detail in your life and get frustrated when you don't? Only God is suffering. Do you accept more and more work and commit to more activities that you can handle? Only God is omnipotent. Do you try to keep up with every single news around the world just to be able to share your opinion in social media? Are you afraid to say, "I don't know"? Only God is omniscient. Do you believe that everybody should listen to your opinion on everything and you should always have the last word? Only God's word is final. Do you tend to think that everybody else is wrong? And if things were done your way, then everything would be better. Only God is infallible. So when you look at your life, what kind of man do you see? One of the keys that prevents David of identifying himself with a proud man and allows him to do so with a humble man is found at the very beginning of the psalm. The first two words you can see in scripture is, "O Lord." It's a form of address to the covenant Lord, Yahweh. "O Lord," the psalmist says, he is in prayer, in a deep relationship with his covenant God. So here is the key to humility. Know the real God. Know the Lord Almighty. It is easy. It is really easy to turn to pride when we only keep looking at each other. You may look at me and think of 20 ways in which you are better than I am. And I can do the same. That's the nature of the human heart. That's the human condition. But turn your sight to God. Learn who he is. Learn what he has done. Learn how the covenant God, the creator of heaven and earth, he who sustains the universe in the palm of his hand, has entered into covenant with you, a sinner. Then you shall be humbled. Learn about this triune God, about the Father who sent his only Son to take a human nature. About the Son who humbled himself and lived and died as a payment for your sin. Learn about God the Spirit who, being holy, comes forth and dwells into our previously dead heart to give it life, to purify it, to clean that which was rotten, to sanctify you. Learn about the Holy One taking you as a child. And then you shall be humbled. And so the first thing the psalmist does is identify humility. And then he turns to show an image, a portrait, as it were, for us to know how does humility looks like in our life. What is a good analogy for humility? If we live humble lives, what shall we expect? Verse 2 says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a winged child with its mother, like a winged child is my soul within me." We need to understand the image David is giving us. The comparison here, the contrast, is not between a winged child and an adult. The contrast is between a winged child and an unwinged child, a newborn infant, nursing baby. Nursing babies can cry. They do cry. And they can cry despite their mother being there with them. Only until the breast is put into their mouth, they are able to calm. I still can remember my first week of parenthood and how our daughter had some issues, underlying issues that prevented her from feeding well. And so she would cry. And she would cry. And cry. My wife and I needed to make almost an extra human effort to learn to feed her properly. And we're deeply grateful for what the Lord has done with her life. But those days of crying, I will never forget. The frustration, the tiresomeness, the distress, the complete inability to calm and hold her peace. Is this what you see when you look at your life? The life of an unwinded child. On the other hand, the image David is depicting, the image of a winged child, is an image of peace. Winged children would be around 3 years old in ancient Israel. And so they wouldn't need the breast any longer to remain calm and at peace. It would be toddlers, graduating toddlers, ready to go into kindergarten, Jewish kindergarten. So the only thing they would require would be the presence of the person they trusted the more. Their mother. As long as mommy is there, everything's good. With his mother present, a winged child is able to hold his peace, to be relaxed, to enjoy life, to play, to explore. Is it not this what toddlers do? They are playing around and enjoying themselves. And every once in a while, what do? They sneak peek to see what? To see if mommy and daddy are still there with them, present. And so they go on with whatever they are doing. When they are hungry, they go to mom. When they are thirsty, they go to mom. When they fall and scratch their knee, they go to mom. When they want to watch funny dog videos in the internet, they come to dad. And so the image The image of a weaned child is adequate because it shows forth both the maturity required to remain tranquil and at the same time the humility necessary to believe, to trust that because mom and dad are with me, nothing will go wrong. It is an image of peace and trust because the psalmist has quieted his soul from doubt, from uncertainty. He has quieted his soul with confidence in his Lord. Notice also that this calming and quieting of the soul is not passive, but active. Yes, it is true that every good gift comes from the Lord, and no one is denying that. However, God not only determines the ends, but also the means. And so it is also truth that David speaks in very active terms. Read again verse 2. I have calmed and I have quieted my soul. And so we may ask, how is it that David has managed to do this? Well, he does not spell out exactly or explicitly what exactly he is doing. But we already have spoken about growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And at the very least, we can mention prayer. That is the very activity the psalmist is engaged in. After all, he is praying. Now, this psalm also was a song of ascent, so we need to add to the list, we need to include worship and communion with other saints. So we may summarize all of this by saying David is constantly seeking the presence of the Lord in community. Through scripture, through prayer, worship, communion with other believers. God has given us these things as well. To calm and quiet our souls. So do not be discouraged. Do not fall into monotony when you come to church. Remember, this has a purpose. Remember, this is a gift from the Lord so that you may also calm and quiet your soul. Embrace these good gifts of God that He has given us to be brought closer to Him, to know Him, enjoy Him and glorify Him forever. Finally, after David has led us through the identification of humility and an image of humility, there is only one thing left to do. He invites us to join Him. He invites us to be humble. And so verse 3 reads, O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. There are two brief comments to make about this invitation. First, the peace that the psalmist has reached is not a solitary, contemplative, introspective peace. Might have some of that, but it is not primarily that. It is primarily a peace that ought to be shared among the covenant community. Not alone, but together. Not only you, but all of us. Notice the change from a one-on-one conversation with the Lord, a prayer, to a general address to the whole nation of Israel. That which David experienced personally is filling him in such a way that it overflows and reaches out to the rest of his people. So as David has been humbled and therefore able to trust in the Lord, he calls the people to hope in the Lord as well. He calls them to humility, which is also demonstrated by the confidence in the God who is indeed almighty. He calls them to a peace like that of a weaned child that is only available for those with a humble heart. So let me ask you a question. Are you sharing this message of humility and peace with others? Are you calling others to be humble? Are you inviting others to trust in the Lord who is able to give them peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Please do so. Would you share this good news of peace with others? Would you pray for others to be humbled so that they would come in humility to the Lord? Second remark. This trust, this call to humility is not something momentaneous. It is not something brief. We are humble today, we trust in him today, and tomorrow we're done. But it goes on forever. Just as the pilgrims would have sung this psalm in their way to the holy city, let us sing to each other on our way to the new heavens and the new earth, to the new Jerusalem. Just as the pilgrims would continue singing this once they arrived to the temple, the presence of the Lord, let us continue singing this together when we be there. We have calmed and quieted our souls. The Christian life is full of hardships. There is a long way until we will be able to fully and perfectly trust in our Lord. But that way, that path, is one that is characterized, paved, enlarged, marked by humility. A childlike humility. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And please forgive our proud hearts. Please forgive every single time we have tried to take your place. And make us humble. I pray this for me and for your church, so that we may learn to glorify you in humility. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.